دی کله ما خوشگی پر بی حال آی دل بری کمر ناله کدی دیرا.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, and I'm joined by James Galvin, who is a professor of history at UCLA. His research focuses on the Middle East, particularly Greater Syria, the area of present-day Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, and the Palestinian territories. He is the author of Divided Loyalties, Nationalism and Mass Politics in Syria at the Close of the Empire, The Modern Middle East, A History, and his forthcoming book, From Modernization to Globalization, The United States, the Middle East, and the World Economy in the 20th century. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Galvin.
Thank you for having me.
And there have been some rather a brutal crackdown in the southern Syrian city of Dara. It's difficult to know exactly, because the place has a media blackout, and apparently they've also cut off cell phones in that area. What's your understanding about, because I understand it started with some kids spraying graffiti, and the parents came, and then the secret police either shot the parents or beat them up. And I mean, it's difficult to get a feeling for it, but I guess the long and the short of it is this a sign of another Arab country starting to show signs of cracking up?
Well, the signs are certainly there. According to the stories that I've been reading in Al Jazeera, the incidents in Dara actually began with, as you said, children spray painting graffiti. And according to Al Jazeera, again, these kids who were in the fifth grade or so were arrested and taken into custody. That's when all hell began to break loose. And there subsequently have been larger and larger demonstrations that have been taking place in Dara. More children were also arrested, this time for taking part in their own impromptu demonstration. I believe it was last Sunday. And these things have spread now. It's not just Dara. It's Damascus as well has seen small protests. But also in Banias, you see them as well. And, you know, in Homs, you see these things as well. There were approximately 2,000 demonstrators on the streets of Homs, for example, today. So it is spreading. I think the key element that we are going to have to watch out for is to see if this thing really goes viral in Syria is what's going to happen in the two major cities. The capital city of Damascus, which it's understandable, there's a very, very strong police presence and government presence there, so it's very understandable if it doesn't take off in Damascus. But the northern city of Aleppo as well is very, very important, and the question is whether or not this sort of demonstration is going to move out of a provincial center like Dara into a major metropolitan center like Aleppo.
Well, we have memories, and I imagine the Syrian people are sort of terrified by the memories of what happened in Hama when Hafez al-Assad, the father of the current leader, the accidental leader, the ophthalmologist from London, his son, when I think 25,000 people were brutally murdered in the way that Gaddafi is using artillery and modern equipment on his own civilian population. That was mostly the Muslim Brotherhood, though, wasn't it?
That was a Muslim Brotherhood uprising. There are certain lessons that can and cannot be drawn from that. I don't think that the Syrian population was permanently cowed by that. If we look, for example, we see rebellions taking place in various junctures against Saddam Hussein, who certainly resorted to the same sort of criminal acts against his own population, and as you mentioned, Gaddafi as well. There is another lesson, though, that is to be learned, however, from what happened in Hama, which is the fact that most of the population sat on its hands. In other words, you had a rebellion that took place against the regime, and the rebellion didn't spread. And it was quickly contained by very, very brutal means. But the population at that time was not prepared, was not willing to see a Muslim Brotherhood takeover of Syria.
And is there, I've often wondered how this regime, the Assad regime, the Lions, as they call themselves? How do they hold on to power, given that they represent a 15% minority of Shiites in a Sunni country? They're the members of the Alawite sect.
Right, that's absolutely true, but I don't think too much can be read into the sectarian divisions. I mean, people tend to do that, for example, looking at what's going on in Bahrain as being a Sunni-Shi sort of thing. The ruling group in Syria certainly is Alawite, but this has nothing to do, of course, with religion. It has to do mainly with access to patronage and trust on the part of the Assad people for their own members of their own groupings. Actually, it's very interesting that almost all these people who are in high government positions hail from the same port city of Latakia, whereas there are Alawites all over Syria. So they hold power not just because they don't distribute power to outsiders, only to people that they trust, but they also make cross-sectarian alliances as well with Sunni merchants, for example, with certain industrialists who are either Christian or Sunni as well. The power remains in the hands of a very, very select few, that's true. But that select few is has the spigot for the economy, has the patronage for the economy, which other people outside of that small community are actually able to tap into.
And James Galvin, would that explain why, for the last several decades under the Assad family rule, the economy has been absolutely zero growth?
Yeah, the economy is not doing too well. In the Arab region, first of all, the decade of the 1980s was a complete disaster anyway. They call it a bad decade for Latin America, for example, a missed decade, which had 2% growth. Middle East growth was absolutely flat throughout that period. The Syrian economy is reliant upon two major forms of export. Oil, hydrocarbons, to begin with, is the most important, and that makes about 25% of the government's revenue. The other is agricultural, there's a very, very large agricultural sector. About 25% of the employment is in the agricultural sector. And actually, Syria is one of only two countries in the region that is self-sufficient in foodstuffs. One of the reasons why we've seen these demonstrations spread throughout the Middle East is that the Middle East as a whole is more reliant on imported wheat in particular than any other region in the world. And there's been all sorts of reasons why the price of wheat has skyrocketed in the last year or so, but it certainly has skyrocketed. And this, of course, created a great deal of dissatisfaction among populations that spend 40-50% of their income on food. In Syria, that is not the case, however, and Syria is actually a food exporter. So there are certain sectors of the economy which do okay for the country, but you're absolutely right. It's an economy that is still tightly regulated by the government. It's an economy in which there is currency controls. There's no transparency whatsoever. It's rated very, very low on all the indexes of transparency, privatization, and so on and so forth.
Well, let me just, in the last minute here, Professor James Galvin, get a sense of how long the Syrian regime can hold on. Particularly, they've been using the Israel bogeyman for so long, and they're using on state television now their excuse for the hundreds of people that apparently have been shot and wounded in this city of Dara is that they were inspired by the Israelis.
Well, at least they're not inspired by al-Qaeda using hallucinogenic drugs, which we've heard before.
Right.
The population has knows the regime. They know what they're dealing with. There's really no way that the population is going to believe the sort of things that these dictators have used.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. I'm sorry, but I've enjoyed speaking to you here today, UCLA Professor James Galvin, the author of Divided Loyalties, Nationalism and Mass Politics in Syria at the Close of the Empire. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with a nonpartisan analyst about the federal budget impasse.
هس
يكفي تقول لي بس
مس
هس بس اسمع هس
هس
يكفي تقول لي بس
مس
ايش معرفك بالحب
ايوه
معرضك بالحب ايه من صرت تحس
هص بس اسمع هص